you could share some of the experiences about the time that there was a proposed merger between Frognac and Koniag.
I sure can, and I'd be really happy to try to tell the people the truth. And the way it is now, it's such a horrible mess, and the reason it's a horrible mess is because people got involved that really didn't know what they're doing and started lawsuits and made a mess out of something that could have been a really super deal for all the people in Koniag. And I remember this was Carl Armstrong's idea to merge all the villages with Koniag. And in my estimation, that was the best thing that could have happened to all the villages in Koniag. And I pushed it really hard. And the reason I pushed it hard, because there's really two reasons that I really got involved in ANSCA, the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. One was to merge all the people so everybody would share equal. And number two was that to get the elders their benefits. And I failed in both of them. But anyway, I agree with what Carl was trying to do, and I pushed it. And if every village would have merged, if every village would have signed up, if every village would have been on an equal field, there would be no such thing as the AJV getting this kind of money and somebody else not getting this money, or Akia getting this money, Carl getting, or no, it would be all equal for everybody. And it was all the resources on Kodiak Island would be owned by all the people like they should be. And because of some people, and looking at it from a different angle, took it out of context, and they just made a mess out of it, and they ruined it. And it just so happened that Old Harbor was able to pull out of it just in time. Legally, they weren't bound, but Larson, Bain, Carlick were bound, and they couldn't get out of it. But it would have been so much better if everybody had been legally bound and everybody would have been sharing equal. Then we would have had really one hell of a powerful corporation in Kodiak. But again, I just want to just reiterate that I am in favor of merger, and if it was done right, and where I think that everybody in the whole island should share everything equal, and I still believe that. And that was the only intent, no other intent. And it was Carl's idea, and he was good. That guy was good.
Well, in retrospect, it was kind of a sad time because there was so much
dissension
and fighting.
It was horrible. And I remember I could see a lot of that coming. And after I'd been on the boards for I think 5 or 7 years, whatever it was. There was so much, and also going to so many meetings. So what I did is I resigned up the Koniag board, the Frognac board, the Canna board, went to Seattle and built the senior and lived happily ever after. And now I'm just involved in subsistence now. I'm really heavily involved in subsistence.
Well, it sounds like you were a visionary, even if not everyone was able to see what it was that you were intending to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that merger would have been just exactly what I was aiming for. And I used to tell Roger Lang, and I used to tell Borbridge, and all them guys, Emil Naughty, every one of them, everybody in Alaska should share equal on everything. And they said it'll never happen. I said, you're right, it never will happen. So at least we had a chance in Koniag to try it, and I thought it was going to work. If there wasn't so much controversy and whatever happening, maybe a year ahead of that it would have went, but we waited a year too long.
How do you feel about what's happened in recent years with Frognac Native Corporation and Native Village of Frognac focusing on preserving the history of Frognac and having the Dig Frognac camp and other activities kind of celebrating the culture?
Well, you know, I think that I like the idea, and I think if it wasn't for Frognac, I don't think there's no other corporation on the island could have pulled it off, because they didn't have the resources. But I agree with it, and I don't have no problem with it. I remember since day one, when I was on the board, those were our goals, not exactly that, But our goals were to plant the seeds, to get the scholarships, to get the kids educated, to get them to take over the corporations, and to get us into things like this and to make the right decision for us in the future. And it looked like that's happening. And I'm glad that this is happening. And if it wasn't for Frognac, the whole island would be way, way back. Frognac has the resources in pooling with Koenig and Canna. He'd be able to get so many grants, and it's just, I'm glad they're doing it, and I hope it can continue.
I think, without a doubt, Frognac has really been a leader in reviving the culture and having people pay more attention to who they are and where they came from.
You know, I've been looking at this and I've been analyzing it. Before, I used to get upset because I thought they were spending too much money on nonprofits. It really kind of bothered me. But as I get older and got thinking about it, and one of the things I like is they're getting good, credible people over here. They're not getting people that are, in my estimation, people that shouldn't be here. I think they're getting the good, credible people here, and they're getting the people here that we need over here. Dr. Donald Clark, I can't call him Dr. Donald Clark. I call him Donald Clark because I grew up with him, and I said, I'll never call you doctor. I said, you're no doctor to me, but anyway, he just laughed. But getting people like that and believing yourself and getting the rest of these people there, it's really a plus, and it's an attribute to Frognac, and I really like it, and I think it should continue, and I think it will.
Is there anything I didn't ask you that you would like to share?
Well, the only thing I'd like to tell you about is subsistence. I've been fighting for subsistence ever since I was a kid. My dad used to take me fishing out to Buskin River when I was maybe 4 years old. I used to row out there, and then we'd go to the mission, where the mission is now. There were no buildings out there, just one little barabara. A little man named Teakin lived there, and that lake there is called Teakin's Lake. And we used to go fishing there trout in April, May, maybe March, I mean. And we'd row back to Kodiak, and he'd tell the people in town, and everybody get on and get dolly gardens. And that was the beginning of my subsistence. And later on, we started gill knitting, and, well, as time went on, they closed off mission to our fishing out there. We couldn't fish out there anymore. So when I was in high school, we moved down in front of Crafts, where the boat harbor is now. And the boat harbor came in, development came in, and they moved us out of there, so we went to Buskin. And that was okay, but then the problem is there's so many people. But then the war started, and people moved to Kodiak, and it's just overrun with people. And so we were having really a hard time with getting our own fish. And now, I think it's to the point where there's so darn many people. It's getting tougher and tougher and tougher to live our traditional way. And I am just so thankful to Larry McCauley. If he called me one day, and I didn't even know Larry, and he said, Ivory, we need somebody in Kodiak. I'm from Kodiak to Anchor to testify to the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council because Kodiak is getting screwed again. I said, okay. So I went to Christina Rita at Cannon. They sent me to Anchorage, and what they were doing was they were trying to me, urbanize Kodiak and separate it from the villages on the island. They were giving 20 halibut a day and 20 hooks per person for all the villages except Kodiak. Kodiak would get 5 hooks and 10 halibut a year. And Larry said, that's not right. So anyway, I told the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council that you guys have absolutely no facts to base this on. The people on your advisory board give you the wrong information. They don't know nothing about traditional lifestyle. And I said, you better not listen to them. Get the facts before you make a decision. I said, my mother said, if you weren't there, you didn't see, you can't say. I said, remember that. You guys were not there, you didn't see, and you can't say. And neither was anybody else on the advisory board. And you're going to make a decision based on their proposal? I said, I hope not. So anyway, just to make a long story short, I couldn't believe it. The proposal came out, and Robin Samuelson, Harvey's son, called me. He got the whole island all the same, 30 hooks and 20 halibut a day. 20 halibut a day is no good. Who wants 20 halibut a day? But we could care less about that. The main thing is we got the whole island the same. So that's one of the things we did. And then last spring I went to the Fish and Game Board and I told them they had closed off Mission and all our subsistence areas where we used to fish. And I asked them, why do you got that closed? I said, it's discriminating to the natives. The sports fishermen can fish there, the charter boat can fish there, the commercial fishermen can fish there, everybody can fish there except the natives for their subsistence use. I said, there could be a big lawsuit if you don't do something and change the law. So they opened that whole thing up again. Now we got that open, so we're back there. And that's what I'm doing now, mostly is just fighting for our subsistence rights now. Mm. And that's it. And I'm out of the profit-making corporation thing. I think they're doing a good enough job, and I'm just going to stick with subsistence now. Mm. And I think that's a good place to be.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Sever.
You bet you. Nice talking to you, Gordon.